Amen. Well, thank you very much for coming out. Again, a very, very warm welcome. It's great to see so many faces. And tonight, obviously, we're looking at the Great Commission. We all know what the Great Commission is. If you've been around church for any sort of length of time, you will have heard about Matthew 28 and the Great Commission. This idea that we are now to go off into the world and explore and tell people about Jesus and figure out what that actually means for us, because it can be really, really confusing, especially in the 21st century. But let me just quickly run over it again, and then we'll jump in. Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And be sure of this, I am with you always to the very end of the age," or something like that, depending on what translation you read. They're not very different. I've read a load of them in sort of the study for this, and it's very, very similar. So there's very similar words, despite what you're reading. So before we get stuck into the word, I want to just tell you a little bit about the vision for Hambap Youth Club, or youth work here at Hamilton Road Baptist Church, in the age bracket that I work with. So I'll work with your young people on a Friday night and a Sunday night, and that's usually about 11 to 18 years old. And the vision, without even really knowing it, last year we sort of realized that the youth was doing three things. It was completing three objectives, and so we've managed to put it down to what that actually looks like. So give a brief. The first one is together. So drawing young people in from all walks of life through events to hear about the good news of Jesus Christ, believing that he will do a great work in their hearts. The second one is to build, creating an environment where young people will hear the word of God taught faithfully, and where they can see the gospel lived out in the lives of those around them. And number three was this: we aspire to be a place where the Great Commission from Jesus in Matthew 28 is taken seriously, where young people will be inspired to share the gospel with their friends, their family, and even in foreign lands. So here's what I want to do. Before we jump into the nitty-gritty of the text and what that actually means for us in the 21st century, as young people, as not-so-young people, and as really not-so-young people, what I would love us to do is spend some time speaking to your neighbor. I'm going to give you three questions, and I'm going to give you 30 seconds to answer each, all right? So the first one is this: what is the biggest obstacle in doing the Great Commission in your life? So go ahead, the person that you're with, either in twos or in threes, you have 30 seconds on the clock, and then we're going to come back in and I'll be asking for some responses. This is the quietest I've ever seen most of you in the whole room. Go for it. Okay, great. That general silence means that you're done talking, which is great. Okay, so shout out to me. What kind of answers did you get? Sorry? Your career plans. So your own dreams, aspirations, plans. What else is there? Adults you can answer to. Don't worry. Fear of rejection. Great. Anything from over this side of the room? No. Sorry? You might be laughed at. Okay, great. So all very good and solid answers. I came up with three, I think, that are very personal to me, and I suppose with all the conversations I have with people around this issue. The first one is inadequacy. So we often feel inadequate. We look at the massive objective that is rescuing the world through the good news of Jesus Christ, and we take that on our shoulders and we say, well, I feel really inadequate to do that job. I really don't think I am qualified to do that. The second one is distractions. That was a good one from over here on my right. Distractions often get in the way. It can be your career. It can be the pursuit of your own happiness or your own satisfaction in life. And so we often put obstacles in front of us and what we can do for God. And number three, I often find, is a lack of faith. So the reason sometimes that we don't have that conversation, the reason that we don't pray for that person, the reason that we don't love that person the way that we should sometimes, if I could be so bold to say, is to say that actually, we don't believe God is capable of using us to portray love to the world, even though that's what he's told us in Matthew 28. So second question, you're going back into your friends to chat for a minute. Okay, so 30 seconds, not a minute, 30 seconds on the clock. Do you think you do it well? So go ahead, start chatting, 30 seconds on the clock. Okay, great, thank you. All right, so this one probably is easier to do a show of hands, otherwise we could be here all night. So without embarrassment, if you think you do it well, put your hand up. Okay, if you think you do it okay, but you probably could work on it and do a bit better, stick your hand up. Good. If you don't think you do it very well at all, put your hand up. Great. Oh, okay. What an obstacle. Well, we'll see when we read the text here in a minute, Ovi. All right. And so the last question that you're going to answer is this, and this one's more personal. I'm not going to ask you for a response or anything like that. 30 seconds, discuss with each other, how can we help each other do that job better? So go ahead, 30 seconds, and then we'll draw back into the text. Okay, great. Well, hopefully that has stirred something in your heart and your head and has made the cogs turn a little bit, because I know sometimes when it gets to a Sunday, we can all be a bit rusty after a long week of work and then a rest on a Saturday. So hopefully that's got your brain turning a little bit, and we'll jump into the text. So just a brief overview of how we get to this point in the Great Commission, Matthew 28. We see that Jesus and his disciples, they go through this incredible journey together. First of all, Jesus is born. He's living his life here on earth. Later on, he's tested by Satan. He then, for some strange reason, goes on to teach the religious leaders when he's young. Preaches about the kingdom of his Father. Does some incredible miracles through healing and through fulfilling the prophecy of the Old Testament. Jesus calls his disciples. He teaches them the true way to worship God. He made the incredibly bold statement that he is in fact the Messiah, or the one who was to come. He taught love to the world, which ultimately led to people wanting rid of him. And he died, and then he resurrected 3 days later. All of that leads to this climax for me of the story of where we fit into this sequence, right? It's the climax of the story. The part where God makes those who are ready to follow him wholeheartedly part of one of the greatest operations that has ever been known to mankind, this Great Commission. But first of all, I want us to imagine what the disciples would have felt like. Imagine the idea that he has died and resurrected. There would be such an uninsurance, if that's even a term. It's probably not. English teachers can correct me later. That's fine. But there's no assurance anymore. They aren't sure what's going to happen. They thought for sure that Jesus, the Messiah, was going to ride in on a white horse and that he was going to rule the world. He was going to redeem Israel back to God, and everything was going to be smooth sailing from there on out. But then he dies, and yes, he resurrects, and it's really, really exciting, but he comes back to them and he says, I need to go. I have to go up to the Father. And in fact, he even says, it's better for you if I go. Confusion. They might have felt lost spiritually. Everything that they thought that they knew had gone out the window. And despite the fact that he had resurrected again, some of them were still unsure of what was going to happen. They might have been afraid. Some of them had left their jobs. Some of them left their families behind, traveled to a foreign place, all to follow Jesus. And then he tells them he's going away. How would that make you feel? I know I'd be scared, confused, lost. I'd probably go back to where I was. But the whole story focuses in on this one statement that I think we can't really avoid. It says to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And just like the disciples, We are left with a massive question then. Jesus, without you here on earth, how are we possibly going to fulfill that expectation that you've given us? How are we going to do it? I can barely even get up out of bed in the morning and make coffee. How am I going to go and show people that you love them? And I guess that's the focus of this evening. I'd be so bold to say that a lot of why we experience a lessened view of this Great Commission is down to the fact that Jesus isn't here in flesh. It makes it easier to avoid the Great Commission, doesn't it? I think if Jesus walked in tonight, those who are slumped over would suddenly be postured up. I think if he walked into your house tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, you wouldn't be watching Pointless or The Chase. You'd turn off your TV and you'd focus on what he would want you to focus on. And so as much as we like that idea that yes, Jesus is always here, God is always present, always with us, we love that idea, but does it ring true in our lifestyle? Does it ring true when we look at the Great Commission in Matthew 28? The seriousness that that requires of us? Maybe you struggle to share the message of Jesus. Maybe you're here tonight and you struggle to see where God is using you. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not even sure whether or not you have enough faith to carry out this incredible plan that God has allowed us to be part of. This part's going to be really brief and then I'm going to finish. There's three main points that I want to make that hopefully will help you no matter where you sit on the fence of the Great Commission. And I'm going to be quick because I believe this part of Scripture is relatively straightforward. And I believe it's one of those parts that everybody can grasp if they try hard enough. So point number one is this. Faith in him is required to do the Great Commission. In other words, you cannot work for Jesus unless you know Jesus. I hope that one's self-explanatory, but maybe something that can help tonight that will maybe help you realize that the work that God has called you to only calls for one single qualification, and that is that you've put your trust in him. If you're a follower of Jesus, then I want to encourage you tonight that you don't need to wait any longer before you realize that God has called you to go, just like he did with the disciples. You don't need a theological degree to spread the good news. You don't need to be a church member of a certain denomination. You don't need to be a member for 10 years. You don't need to be 30 years old. You don't need to own your own home or have disposable income. We can go and we can do this. The only qualification is that you have put your faith and your trust in the one who has given you this commandment. So in short, I think it's better that we figure that part out first before you wrestle with the great commission that Jesus has given you. Point number two, if you're taking notes, which is one of you so far, which is great. Point number two, we are commanded to go, therefore we must actually go. If we're being honest, we all know someone who takes the Great Commission really, really, really seriously. They've gone off into a foreign part of the world and they're sharing the good news and they're doing incredible things, or they're still here in Northdown doing incredible things. Doesn't matter what that looks like. They have taken the Great Commission seriously. They have gone out to make disciples despite the cost from their own lives. But if we're being honest, we also know plenty of people who don't take it very seriously. We also know people who are lethargic, who would rather just turn up on a Sunday and go to church than to do that which Jesus has called them to be obedient to. I have a bit of a problem with that. And I think it's because I don't see anywhere in this passage or anywhere in the Gospels or anywhere in the Bible probably where it allows for that. If we are called to be obedient to God, and this commandment has been given to us by Jesus to go and do something, then there is absolutely no excuse. If you're able to, I think you should. If you want to follow Jesus, you have clear instructions put on your life, and that is to go. The same rules apply as the first one. You don't need to wait any longer. You simply need to be obedient and to go. Going, thankfully, does not always mean getting on a plane and preaching to people whose language you don't even speak. It might be, but for lots of us, it's not. For lots of us, it's right here in Bangor, it's in school, it's in college, it's in university, it's in our workplaces, it's in our sports club, it's in our family. It doesn't always look like long-term foreign mission. So if you're a young person here tonight, and you have heard all of these incredible stories of people going off into the world and experiencing God, and they've shed the light of the gospel all over the dark places of the world, I want to encourage you that you can actually do that here. Because it is the same God, it is the same Holy Spirit, it is the same message, hopefully, and it is the same call to go. It doesn't matter where you do it. The gospel is just as important here in North Down as it is in Cape Town, South Africa. But how do we go? I don't feel like it. How can I do that? How can little old me, who falls apart sometimes, how can I go off into the world with this big dangerous message that might offend people? How can I do that? Well, point number three is this. It is only by his power that we can fulfill the Great Commission. I'd like to overview a quick story from further on in the Bible, in the book of Acts, in Acts 2 specifically. They're at the stage, I'm sure, where the followers of Jesus, after he'd left, they had plenty of questions. But they were told to wait. How are we going to do this, maybe? That's what they might have been saying. How is it possible for us to do more than what Jesus done in terms of his ministry here on earth? What can we do that will ever be as effective as having him here on earth with us? They seem like rhetorical questions until in Acts 2, in their time of need, the power of God comes upon them in an incredible way. And although sometimes we don't feel his Spirit with us, a lot of the time we don't have those really supernatural experiences. This is part of what Jesus meant when he said that I will be with you in Matthew 28, verse 20. I'll be with you to the end. The Holy Spirit is part of his promise to us. And what an incredible gift it is. So if you are a true follower of Jesus Christ, I think the Bible supports the fact that you carry his Holy Spirit. You carry it within you, the same power that resurrected Jesus from the tomb is living within you. And so you ask, how do we do this? How do we fulfill this great commandment? How do we go beyond ourselves? It is only by the power of God that has been given to us as a gift that we can go and fulfill this commandment. When we read the incredible things that the church, the early church in Acts have done, we can be energized by the truth that that's also us. And this might, it might sound like a youthy sermon. It might sound like something that you'll hear at like a youth conference or a camp. But the bottom line is that this stuff, actually, I didn't make it up. It's in the Bible. And if it's in the Bible, it's not just for the young people that are around the front rows. It's also for everybody. The Great Commission is not just 11 to 18. The Great Commission is for all. And we can do so much more. Because it's not really down to us. It's down to him. When he promises he would build his church, he wasn't lying. When he said that his Holy Spirit would come, he didn't make it up. And when he gave us this commandment, he didn't leave us unequipped. He equipped us with his Holy Spirit. We are simply just the vessels and the carriers of the good news. As I close this evening, here's my challenge to you. What will you spend your Christian life doing? Will you claim the name of Jesus for all of your days, but yet take lightly what he has asked you to do with your life? Will you say that you're a follower of Jesus with your lips, but fail to go in the sense of telling people about the good news? My encouragement to you is this as well. That being obedient to the call of Jesus is the most fulfilling, life-satisfying thing that you can ever do with your time here on earth. So I beg of you, please don't spend your time wondering what he wants you to do next when it says it right here in Matthew 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded. And be sure of this, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. We pray, God, that your Holy Spirit will enlighten us in this process. I pray that you will continue to teach us. I pray that this truth of your word and this call to go into the word, no matter what that looks like, will be taken seriously by everyone who sits here today and claims you as Lord and Savior. I pray, God, for the young people here that they do not wait until they're 25, 30, 40, 50 years old before they realize that there is a call upon their lives to go and spread the good news. And I pray, God, that we will always be mindful of that which you've called us to. Give us strength, give us boldness. Build us up, Lord, where we need built. Humble us where we need humbled. But be with us every step of the way as you promised. We thank you for all these things in your Son's name. Amen.